You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 18. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, we do look to you. Thank you for your word. God, thank you for giving us that information that helps us in these days as we proceed forward, looking for your soon return. And our God, we're going to thank you very much for all that you're doing, for all the needs, many needs, many things need your attention. Thank you very much for taking care of them. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, the disciples have finished the upper room and have gone out into the garden, chapter 18. And John's giving us a very special, all the chapters in the Gospel of John give us a different window. Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us three windows. The Gospel of John gives us a fourth window that gives us a different view. He's the last living apostle. Everything is done when he finishes Revelation. God's word is finished, complete, until he comes. So John is giving us a good window to see history as it was and as it will be. So when John is giving his accounts, chapter 18, we found that as they go out, Judas, we wanted to know if you were one of the 11 and you're going with the Lord, and you'd want to know, well, what happens to Judas. And us, here we want to know what they knew. And therefore, Judas, we shared together, had his understanding of God in Christ from a human standpoint, from a strictly secular standpoint. He didn't see it from God's point of view. So when the Lord Jesus Christ didn't perform, didn't become king, didn't do everything that Judas was hoping, Judas hung himself because he was disappointed. He was looking for God to answer the way he thought, what he thought, and how he thought. But God didn't accommodate Judas. God didn't accommodate Peter, as we shared. And so now, here they are, and Peter in the trial. And we pick up, if we can, in verse 12. And they, remember, they're taken, the Lord is taken captive by the cohort, the 600 plus or minus Roman soldiers, the temple guard, etc. They're all there, the priest. They're all there to take him captive, one man. And verse 12, then the hand band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. They bound him, and as it were, tied his hands and all of that, the kind of thing. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. And Annas was high priest from 6 AD to 15 AD. And he had five sons, and each son got in there. And now, after all of that, Caiaphas, his son-in-law, is now high priest. Annas is well known in history. Of all the different Jews, he's the Jew that stands out. He stands out as a Jew. He controlled the bazaars. By that I mean the temple. He was the boss. He was the boss. He had worked out a thing with the Romans to be the boss, like the mafia hitman. He's in charge of Jerusalem, Judea. He's in charge. So nothing goes on without him. He's over it all. His system of all his sons, a high priest. None of them should be high priest. He shouldn't have been a high priest, as it were. But all of them were there. The system was corrupt, and the religious system was in full bloom and blossom. So, here's Annas. Annas is the head man. So if you're going to go, nothing's going to happen in Jerusalem that he isn't in charge of and tells you what to do. So they brought Jesus to him. He's first at night. They brought to him at night. And he's in charge of, he shared the bazaars, and by that I mean he had a system going. And when the Lord ripped the temple apart, that frustrated him, because if you want to go and sacrifice a lamb or a dove, little turtle dove, whatever you're going to do in the temple to sacrifice, he's in charge. He's in charge. So you can't bring your animal in to be sacrificed unless it passes the test. So his system is set up. So I could tell you, your sheep is not good enough. You have to buy a sheep from me to go sacrifice. And he's in charge. He's in charge of the money. He's in charge of the corruption. He's in charge of the politic. He's in charge. And so when the Lord disturbed and tore the temple apart, as it were, that destroyed his business. And you can't have the business destroyed by this radical named Jesus the Christ. You can't do that. So when they catch him, he's brought to Annas first, understandably. Annas is in charge. So therefore, and bringing him in charge, verse 13, and they led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, etc., which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. Now, so that's just a note in there to understand why he was sent to Caiaphas. And Annas makes it known, and this isn't the end of Annas, but this Annas makes it known that we're going to send him to Caiaphas because Caiaphas had made a statement, John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, Caiaphas made a statement. Now, in the process, picking up, please, in verse 46. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priest and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doth many, many miracles. In other words, he's very popular. The crowd is following him. They aren't paying attention to us, they're following him. And if we don't stop him, the crowd's gonna go his way and we're gonna lose all our power, our position, our possessions. We're gonna lose our business. We're gonna lose. We can't have that happen. So therefore, verse 48, if we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And apparently, the Roman, Pilate and all of the people in Rome, in Jerusalem, had made an understanding. We can't have disruption in the city, in the confines of Judea. We have to calm things down. The crime, we can't have crime. We can't have upheaval. We can't have rebellion, marches and everything. We can't do that. So either you fix it. This is to Annas and the priest. Either you fix it, or the Romans will come in and will take over the whole city. Instead of giving you your power, we'll take it all away from you, and the Romans will be in charge. Now, you either fix this, fix it. And so either find somebody, have some solution in order to pacify the Romans and the system. Therefore, in verse 48 I'll read it again. If we let him alone, thus alone, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but the high priest that year, the high priest prophesied that Jesus would die for their sins. Now, what he's doing is saying what the Romans said. Find somebody that we can blame for all the upheaval in the city, and we can blame him. And Caiaphas says, we've got to find one man to do it. His motive's lousy. If we don't stop this man, we're going to lose our power, our position, our possessions. We're going to lose the wonderful control we have. We've got to do something. But God, in his wonderful way, went, and when he did this, he said it about what Caiaphas is looking to protect their business and their interest. God is looking to say something, and he said it. So therefore, verse 51, this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he's the high priest, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. See? Now, that's good. He didn't mean to say that. You know, I didn't want to say that. Why did I say that? Sometimes I do that. I don't know. Why did I say that? You see? Now, so therefore, verse 52, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. In other words, he makes a statement, he wants the wrong thing. God's going to say he's going to go die. And we read it last time in Zechariah and chapter 9 and that. That God, they're going to take up a sword. Awake, O sword, in Zechariah. Awake, O sword. It isn't going to be men that do this. God is going to raise up the sword, and God is going to have his son killed. They're going to crucify him. God is going to judge him, and he bears our sins in his own body on the tree, and God is going to raise up the sword. God's going to have him crucified, die. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And those 3 hours, Christ bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He bore all of it. The cup, as we shared earlier, the cup he had to drink. He had to drink that cup. And God said he has to die. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He has to die. God took care of it. But They're all busy thinking they're in charge. They aren't in charge. Hang on. Therefore, in chapter 11, verse 53, from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. This is about 2 months, plus or minus, before his crucifixion. They're going to kill him. Their counsel is to kill him. Their counsel is to get him. That's what they're going to do. Hang on to that. These are Jews. This is the top of the pile, priesthood. They're the ones that, if anyone knows, priests, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, there they all are. And then there's all the people down below. And they're all in cahoots. They're all going to go as one to be in agreement. Crucify, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Why? The whole package. Hang on. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and you may want to go and look and see that over in Psalm 76. In Psalm 76, a statement is made. And you will note, please. May I go directly to verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. In other words, God's going to take dumb people and he's going to take the world that hates him and he's going to make them end up outworking his will, which he did, therefore, Calvary's cross. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder, those that are left, that I don't let praise me. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. In other words, I'm going to use the bad guys as I am, and I'm going to let the bad guys be bad guys. The bad guys are going to stay bad guys, but the bad guys that I want, I'm going to use them sometime. Nebuchadnezzar, etc., going to use them to outwork my will. So God said, I'm in charge. So thank you. Now, back over to John. So the Sanhedrin is there, and they are not good, they're evil. And the whole thing is evil. So as we're plowing along here, just think, what you're getting is a picture of the world system at its height. You're picking not just, you aren't picking Islam, you aren't picking Rosicrucianism, you aren't picking Confucianism. We're picking the highest group that should know, Jews. The Jews knew. And the Jews, their thinking, and then the Roman thinking, Gentiles. What do they understand about Jesus Christ, his coming to earth and going to the cross? They hate it with a passion. Do you understand? With a passion. That's why the tribulation's coming. They hate it with a passion. They don't want, you'll see it. You'll see it. Wow. Now, here's Annas. Annas is going to have the first trial. So therefore, to pick up the trial, chapter 18, over if I can, verse 19. 18 and 19. That's why you can't fix things. You want to fix things good. People should love the light. But they don't love the light. They love darkness what? Rather than the light, John 3. They don't want light. They don't want right. Because if I say God is right, then I'm wrong. If I would agree with God, then I'm going to be guilty. I don't want to agree. That's why sometimes parents, someone gets saved in God's grace, gets saved, and then they tell their parents, well, you have to be negative, because if they agree with what their child that got saved, then they're wrong. And they can't afford to be wrong. People can't afford to be wrong. So we can't afford this light. So therefore, here's Annas and the trial. This is the first trial. This is at night. No trial should be at night for the Jews. Verse 19. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. So Annas, the boss, asked Jesus two things. Tell us about your disciples, and tell us about your teaching. And the Lord Jesus would not do either. He did not tell them about his disciples. He was going to go and honor his disciples. And we shared together in chapter 18 and in verse 9, the Lord Jesus protected them when the men went to take the Lord prisoner. And in chapter 17, verse 12, the prayer, he said, chapter 17, verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. God was going to take care of his people. And the business, the world's coming against our Lord, was not against, God protected the disciples. He wouldn't give the names, didn't tell them, tell me how many disciples you have, you know. I won't tell you anything. He didn't tell them anything. What are you teaching? I'm not going to tell you. Your motivation's wrong. Your reasoning's wrong. All you want to do is find out so you can go and catch everybody and eliminate the problem. Find out everybody that doesn't agree with you in something and get rid of them. That's what you do. Now, having said that, and therefore, in asking, verse 20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly in the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. I was speaking openly, freely, the word openly, freely, frankly, fearlessly, boldly. I said what I had to say, clearly, simply. I didn't hide anything. I said it clear. And you're busy trying to kill me, and you're trying to kill me. But I said everything openly to you, and you knew that. So there's no question. All you got to do is go talk. Verse 21, why ask thou me? Ask thou them that heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. Now, I've been in and out of the temple. That's where you guys are. Did you ever watch the big crowd every time I went in the temple, synagogue? The big crowds that are there listening? Did you ever stop and listen yourself? What do you think the people heard? There's enough witnesses out there. Why don't you go ask them? Why don't you go ask them what I said? I said it plainly, clearly, simply, frankly, I said it straightway. They know what I said. Go ask them. Go ask them. Don't ask me. Ask them. Ask them. Because I said it openly. I have said nothing, nothing, nothing. So therefore, having said nothing, and he didn't need to say anything, he is the Word become flesh, John 1:14, etc. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen God, John 14, 4 and 7, etc. Well, you've seen me. So therefore, you should have asked. If you're going to ask anyone, ask them. So therefore, having said that, asking them what he said, and so verse 22. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers stood by, struck him Jesus, with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" So here they are, they're there. One of the officers, the temple guards that were standing there, he's a prisoner, remember, and standing there, and the Lord answered him, and the temple guard decided to go and get a few points with the priest, and he did, and he went, so he slapped him in the face. That's what he did. He went and slapped him in the face. And that's what he did. And he struck him in the face, a blow with the palm of his hand, and saying, answer the high priest. Don't you know he's the high priest? And the high priest didn't know that he was talking to Christ, the high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. The high priest had no business being a high priest, but he was talking to the high priest, you see. But the people don't know, the people don't distinguish. So therefore, that answerest thou the high priest so. And so verse 23, therefore, Jesus answered him, verse 23, if I've done this, and that's an assumption now, if I have spoken, it's the first class, Jesus, if I have spoken, if, assuming, say it that way, assuming I have spoken evil, verse 23, bear witness, testimony of the evil. In other words, if you assume I spoke evil, bad, wrong things, then tell me what wrong I did. Testify to me. What did I do wrong? What did I say wrong? Tell me what I said wrong. That's what he said. Go ahead. You said, let's assume I did wrong. Tell me, what did I do wrong? Of course, there's no answer. They can't answer. But if I did well, the word well or right, why smitest thou me? Why did you hit me? If I did it right. If I didn't do wrong, what right had you to slap me, as it were? So now, having said that, so God, in his wonderful, wonderful way to go, and so therefore, now what do we need to know? At least a couple of things about many. What do we know about this hitting? Well, one of the things you'll hear oftentimes, like in Exodus 20, 12, thou shalt not murder, doesn't say kill, and people don't want to, don't like that. And people that are going to be whatever, and we don't hit anybody. We don't hit anybody. Well, sometime you have to hit. You'll never be a boxing champion if you don't hit somebody. I'll have to tell you, you have to hit somebody. So in the process, here we are looking, and here. Oh, go with me over to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. Matthew in chapter 5. And in chapter 5, picking up, please. In chapter 5, if I can, verse 38. 5 and 38. And you'll notice it. This is in the, remember the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 5, verse 38. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man sue thee, etc. So, what if you're going to have me as king, what do you need to know? You don't have to go and fix the wrongs. God will fix the wrongs. Jumping way ahead to the millennium, the kingdom, when our Lord rules for 1,000 years. How does he handle humanity? We don't have a police force. We don't have armies. We don't have judges. We don't do anything. What is it? Because our Lord rules with a rod of iron everywhere. So there's nothing anywhere that God doesn't fix. You don't have to fix it, said God, I will. Turn your other cheek, they hit you. If they hit you, turn the other cheek. I'll take care of it. But not now. Paul, what are you going to do? Paul wants to know why you hit him. Paul said, "What? I'm a Roman citizen. What right have you got?" You had no right to hit a Roman citizen like that. Why? Because it isn't the kingdom, it isn't the time. So and say, well, I got to turn the other cheek. Well, you can if you like. Or run, that's what I'd say. Run. If you don't want to get hit, run so he can't hit the other one. You understand? Don't be taking things, an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth, etc. Now, having said that little bit, over to John. And in chapter 18, now remember the trial is illegal, it's at night. There's no indictment or accusation made. There's no formal written accusation. There's no counsel of defense. There was no interest in seeking to understand the facts, only to destroy and remove the obstacle, that's Jesus. It's either him or us. He has to go. That's the thinking. If you want to go back to our history, go back to at least 2016 and come forward and see if you don't find the same thing. We aren't interested in the facts. We aren't interested in right. What we want is, we got to protect our system. So here they are protecting their system. And the facts are irrelevant. The facts are irrelevant. And in the process, we've got to get rid of them. They got to do it. And the world system says, you got to get rid of them. This religious system, the Jewish, to help you with that. Here's all the religious systems. Here's this big list like this, religious systems. Big list of religious systems. And I think when I was in California years ago, I think someone said they counted them, 2,000 different churches, religions in the phone book. Wow. Well, now, here's all the religions, and here's God's word. God's word condemns all the religions. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way to the Father. But there's 2,000. No, I'm the only way. The world, you see, if I honor God, our systems go down the tube. All that we're doing, religiously, politically, we're shot down. So we can't get too much into this. Do you understand? We can't do it. It's not going to come out. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, now, over to the Gospel of Matthew, picking up, please, in the light of that. The Gospel of Matthew. Now that's the trial. He's going to send him, Annas is going to send him to his son-in-law, who is the high priest, Caiaphas. He's going to send him there. Now they're in probably, here's this big palace with all its different compartments and the court out here. Annas could have lived in one of these The high priest lived over here in this section. And so he sent him to Caiaphas. And in sending him to Caiaphas, in chapter 26. And so they couldn't show Jesus is wrong. They couldn't show anything. So they had to go and look to God. So now, having said that, chapter 26, picking up, please, in verse 57. First thing, 57. This is the trial now. Annas, first trial. It's night. We send all of it's wrong. The whole thing is wrong. They send Jesus over to Caiaphas. They awake the Sanhedrin. That's the council, all the priests and scribes and essens and elders. They all had to get out of bed, all had to get up out of bed to go to this meeting. So here we are at the second meeting. Now, in verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled, the Sanhedrin, the whole council. And Peter followed him far off, unto the high priest palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now, verse 59. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought to take witness against Jesus to put him to death. So there's no interest. What is he doing here? He's guilty before anything. What are we going to do? We captured this guy. We've been hunting this guy to try to kill him, and we're going to kill him. That's what we're going to do. Are you interested in right and law and order or anything? Rules? No, none of that counts. Not when our jobs and our power and our control is at stake. Nothing counts. Just fix this. Kill him. Put him to death. Therefore, that's their starting point. So at night, they shouldn't even be meeting at night. Therefore, verse 60. But found none, yea, though many false witnesses. I should read verse 59 again. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. That's what they wanted to do. Verse 60. But found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. Now they're false. There's no time. They get up in the middle of the night here. They've had no time to prepare the false witnesses to be all on the same page. And you line the witnesses up and they all say the same thing. You line the news up and it all says the same thing. We get the same message. Same message. Okay. So, and here they are going and false witnesses. But they had no time to do that. They finally found two of them. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. That's what they said. Now, and without going to Mark and that, what do we know? The two witnesses couldn't agree about the temple. They couldn't agree. So they got to have two witnesses, two or three, that agree. They don't agree. Now, one other thing that will help us in John, hold your finger here, and in John chapter 2, what are they talking about? What are they? They're using something the Lord said in the beginning. And you'll notice, please, in verse 18 of John chapter 2, 2 and 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And of course, what's he talking about is resurrection. That's what they said. But they found two witnesses back over to Matthew 26. that said he's going to destroy the temple. And Herod's temple has been built for years and years and years, building it. Now, going to destroy the temple in 3 days. But he wasn't talking about the temple. And they couldn't, the witnesses couldn't even agree. So what does this do? Verse 62. And the high priest rose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? Remember, here's all this going on, witnesses, back and forth with everybody, trying to find them. Witnesses, he's standing there, the Lord is. Standing there. And here's the high priest, Caiaphas, listening to them. They can't agree. There is an agreement. The whole thing is very frustrating for everybody. And the high priest, can't you just feel it? The high priest turns around and says to Jesus, can't you say something? Won't you say something? Accuse yourself. Give us something to work with. See? You give nothing. Now, verse 62, and the high priest rose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee. I'm asking you under oath, as it were, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Tell us. Jesus saith unto him, hast thou said? Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming with clouds in heaven. Now you're going to see, and if you read Mark, what are they going to say? And the high priest does that, and in all that he does, and in the process, he rents his garment, rips his garment off. What do we know about ripping the garment off? You can't rip your garment off. You can't do that. The priest could never do that. As long as he's sitting as the priest, you don't do that. You'll see it over, I can take a minute, over to Leviticus chapter 10. Coming right back here. Leviticus in chapter 10. Chapter 10, may I go directly to verse 6. 10, 6, Leviticus. And Moses said unto Aaron, unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your head. In other words, keep your head covered. Neither rent your clothes, lest you die. Don't you dare show grief or anguish or frustration and rip your clothes. Don't you do it. You're representing me. You don't do any. Aaron, you can't even, two sons, that's the context of chapter 10. The two sons are going to die because they have strange fire. And Aaron could what? Aaron, well, you got it, right? I hate taking time to do it. And chapter 10, verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. His sons just got died. God just struck them down. And Aaron couldn't say boo. Don't even shed a tear. Don't shed a tear. Don't. Wow. Now, back over. Matthew 26. And in Matthew 26, looking if I can, in verse 64. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds. And wow, what do you think you are, God? He is. Verse 65. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. The high priest isn't a high priest. He shouldn't rent his clothes, and it's at night. He shouldn't be doing it. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. Got to get him for something. Verse 66. What think ye? What do you guys think? This is the Sanhedrin. What are you guys going to do? What do we want to do with him? What are we going to do with him? Verse 66. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. See, what kind of trial is this? They all agreed. They didn't disagree. You didn't have, well, shouldn't some of you guys up there in Washington, shouldn't you say something of what we're doing? But you don't say anything. You're all saying the same thing. You all agree. That's what they all agreed, Sanhedrin. They all agreed. Put him to death. Verse 50, 67. Then did they spit, and that's they spit on him, spit in his face. They buffeted him. The word buffet means to hit with a fist. And smote him. That's the slap of the hand with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Tell us who smote thee. Now, you need the other piece of information that you probably already know, over to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And in Luke chapter 22, what else do we need? Luke 22. May I go to verse 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Verse 64. And one, 22:64. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Now, you can just imagine it. You can't you? We got a guy who's an important guy. We don't want him to, if he survives, we don't want to be caught. So we blindfold him, and each one of us can hit him, and no, he can't see us doing it. So all of us can come by one and whack him and hit him, whack him and hit him and say, who did it? He's blindfolded. You can't get after us because you didn't see who did it. You see? Wow. You have to understand, beaten up. You know all this stuff. Beaten up. In closing, I got to quit. Isaiah. The Lord Jesus is very fair. And the world system is going to pay. They're going to pay. The system is starting to get to the payment day. So understand that. And you say, well, I don't agree. You don't have to, my friend, because the system, you got the rest of the world system in full agreement with you. Loving darkness rather than light, etc. Evil rather than good. Isaiah chapter 52. May I pick up that which you know on our Lord Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. Chapter 52, verse 14. And many were astonished at thee, his visage, that his appearance was so marred, so beaten up, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. You couldn't recognize him. He was so beaten up, bloody. 53, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed, etc.? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's coming down with the cross. Look at him. You want me to tell, you're going to tell me he's God? See, you're going to tell me he's God. Ah, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Why? He's going to the cross. And you'll say, well, I just feel. Then God said, do you understand what it cost me to save you and you? It cost me something to save you. You better believe it cost me. You better believe it. So take another look at what it cost me before you say anything. See, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Are you getting a little bit? The trials are tough. You got to go before Pilate. That's the big trial. Pilate has to ratify it because they can't kill anybody. So they could murder and just shoot him. No, not shoot him. They didn't have a BB gun then. Anyway, you got the idea. Our Father and God, thank you for thy grace, thy word. God, it's an awesome thing. You're awesome. God, we're sort of, no, we're not, but God, it's just us. And we don't want to be too stupid about everything. Stubborn and stupid. God, we don't want those words. We want to have an understanding of the awesome cost. And the cost, if the cost is lost, the loss will cost. God, thank you. Thank you very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, may they receive you in your saving grace. Thank you for all that you're doing. Watch over us and help us understand. In Christ's name, amen.